live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Irish Water has contacted Gardaí following an incident on Lough Foyle this morning. The Seanad has been told that all processes laid down in relation to aquaculture licences have been adhered to in the application for a major project on Ballyness Bay. A Donegal County Councillor says he is confident that the majority of works relating to the four-lane scheme in Letterkenny will take place at night time. And three new PS4 projects have been launched in Donegal this week. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Hargan coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, Irish Water has contacted Gardaí following an incident on Lough Foyle this morning. In a statement to Highland Radio News, the utilities say a company working on their behalf carrying out non-invasive survey works in Lough Foyle were unable to complete their work this morning after an interaction with two local boats. The fishermen claimed they were being obstructed, and when they spoke to the skipper of the vessel, he moved away. Irish Water says it is taking the matter very seriously and has reported it to Garda Síochána, who are said to be investigating. Liam O'Brien is skipper of one of the two fishing boats involved. He says a potential standoff and protest was diffused today because of dialogue, but the underlying issue remains unresolved. He says their quarrel is with Irish Water and not the crew of the vessel.
We really have to argue or fight our case with these men here. Their men are out doing their job, they're employed. But Irish Water is not leaving them on the front line to take the gripe. They won't consult, they haven't consulted, nor the Lough Agency, or anybody else has consulted about this pipeline, or won't get involved. It seems to me the fishermen have to take this on themselves to do it.
And you believe that there may be further protests into the future if more vessels come in, if more work is done in that area. You do believe fishermen are ready to mobilise?
100%, Donald. The fishermen are at their last men there now, because the fishermen have lost their salmon. Now they've lost, there's a lot of small boats flying in Greencastle that they invest themselves in. They invest themselves in, the government never helped them, and they come in there and they're trying to protect whatever they have now in the fishery.
The Seanad has been told that all processes laid down in relation to aquaculture licences have been adhered to in the application for a major project on Ballyness Bay. Representatives of the Save Ballyness Bay campaign argue that the Department of Agriculture and the Marine has not followed its own guidelines in seeking environmental assessments of plans to develop oyster farming in the bay. They have also questioned whether adequate notice was given to the community, saying the public notice was printed in the Donegal Democrat, which isn't widely circulated in the area, and pointed out that the documentation people were entitled to view was on display in Fulcarra Garda Station, which is closed for much of the time. However, responding to a submission from Senator Brian O'Donnell, Junior Minister Andrew Doyle acknowledged that while questions have been raised, all processes have been followed.
The department has received a number of representations from members of the public and public representatives in relation to the licensing process as it affects Ballynass Bay. In addition to general complaints concerning the appropriateness or otherwise of the intertidal aquaculture in Ballynass Bay, there has been specific concerns expressed concerning the consultation process. In conclusion, Cathaoirleach, the licensing process in respect of Ballynass Bay conforms fully with all legislative requirements. The statutory and public consultation phases in respect of the applications referred to in Ballynass Bay have now concluded. It is therefore essential that I should not engage in parallel discussions outside the statutory process. And as the applications referred to by the Senator are subject of ongoing detailed considerations as part of the process, it would not be appropriate to comment further.
I think it's grossly disingenuous the manner in which this has been dealt with by the department. The fact now that all of the local sentiment, opinions, are not being taken into consideration prior to a decision and ministerial order on this application is dreadful. There was a public meeting held in August. There was over 700 people attended the public meeting. There's a petition of over 3,000 people. I would again call on you, Minister, to review this.
A Donegal County councillor is confident that the majority of works relating to the four-lane scheme in Letterkenny will take place at night time. The work is to take place between the Polestar and Dry Arch roundabouts, the main thoroughfare into the town and the only gateway to the entire west of the county. The works are scheduled to get underway in the first half of 2020 and there are fears that they could add to the already major traffic congestion that the town is already facing. Councillor Jerry McMonagall says a lot of discussions and planning are ongoing and he's hopeful that the impact will be limited.
We all have concerns and we've been raising them concerns. And in fairness to the Chamber of Commerce, they've come in and they've requested that could the works be carried out at night and night only. And the last meeting that we were at, that seemed to be getting taken on board by the NRDO, that they pointed out that yes, they would work towards trying to achieve that. But and also point out that there was one part of the scheme that would have to be done during the day and that they were to come back to us.
The state has been accused of only taking action against the intimidation of directors at QIH after Kevin Lunny was attacked. However, Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan insists that there had been investigations before the attack on Mr. Lunny in September. Directors at Quinn Industrial Holdings have been subjected to a five-year campaign of intimidation. But Paul Williams, correspondent with the Irish Independent, says it took a brutal attack for the Gardaí to take action.
The state only joined up all the dots, so to speak, in the past 2 weeks. And that's, remember, that's 5 weeks to 6 weeks after Kevin Lunny was abducted and tortured and brutalised. And it was only because of the publicity and it was only because of the relentless campaign by the directors themselves who have been in front of every microphone that's going to tell people to shout from the rooftop, this is what we've been going through.
The Environmental Protection Agency is urging Irish Water to improve how it operates and maintains wastewater treatment systems. 36 towns and villages across the country are releasing raw sewage into the environment every day, according to an EPA report. Areas in Donegal discharging untreated wastewater include Kerrykeel, Rathmullen, Remelton, Moville, Fulcara, Burtonport, Kilcar and the Coolatee housing scheme. The agency wants Irish Water to upgrade deficient treatment systems faster because as things stand, 13 areas will continue discharging raw sewage after 2021. Irish Water's Sean Laffey admits that they have been hit with delays, but says that shouldn't detract from the positive work the utility has done over recent years.
When Irish Water was formed, there were 44 locations around Ireland where raw sewage was going into our lakes, rivers and seas. And to date, we have actually built brand new plants in 14 of those locations. And those 14 plants are dealing with roughly 45% by volume of the raw sewage that was present in 2014. Of the remaining 30 plants that we need to build, 18 are currently either under construction or have received full planning permission.
There are calls on the Health Minister and the HSE to immediately appoint an autism therapist for Inishowen. The post has been vacant now for 17 months after the previous therapist left the job. Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlough says he was informed during the summer that recruitment was underway, but to date no appointment has been made. He says the delay in the appointment of a therapist is an absolute disgrace and unacceptable.
But still, as of now, we do not have an autism therapist appointed. And it's simply unacceptable that families would be left without that service for such a long period of time. And I'm calling once again now on the HSE and the Minister for Health to actually expedite the appointment of that service and ensure that it's reinstated to families across the peninsula.
Is the delay in this particular appointment affected by the overall recruitment ban?
I think we see this all the time with the HSE, whenever a post falls vacant, that there is massive delays and unacceptable delays in terms of actually filling it. And undoubtedly, the recruitment embargo is feeding into that as well. But we have to see a health service which actually recognises the importance of services such as this. And whenever it's clear that someone is about to leave a post, that they actually expedite and make a decision to expedite the recruitment and the appointment of somebody to such essential posts immediately and not leave families in the lurch, because that's what's happening here. And ultimately what the health service needs to be about is ensuring that actually the supports are in place to assist families in this instance, and that's simply not happening. But it must be dealt with immediately, and the HSE Minister now must reinstate this essential autism therapy post for the Inishowen Peninsula.
A new patient advocacy service aimed at supporting people who want to make a complaint about care received in a public hospital has been launched. It features a free confidential phone line as well as an email system and the option of meeting in person. It aims to encourage patients to communicate with the health service to resolve their complaint. Health Minister Simon Harris says he's met people who have had difficulties with the health service but felt there was nowhere for them to turn. He says that while there are a number of advocacy services available, this one is completely independent.
What this is, and I suppose how this is a little bit different, is it's fully funded by the state, by my department, but yet entirely independent of it. It will have a confidential helpline. You will know that when you ring that number, that the person at the other end of the phone is a qualified patient advocate. And the purpose of this service is to help provide you with information in terms of how you can make sure your complaint is properly processed, adequately addressed. So I think this is like something we've never had before in Ireland.
It's anticipated that a new building for a number of services in Letterkenny will meet the needs of all to be housed there. There have been concerns that the proposed building may not be fully adequate for the range of services to be situated there, including Cara House, which currently operates out of a number of other buildings in the town. The project hasn't gone out to tender yet, and it's understood that the council has agreed to review the plans, with discussions between relevant bodies said to be ongoing. Councillor Michael McBride says this is hugely positive.
They have been liaising with Cara House even since I met them last week. They're meeting them again later this week, and they've said that they'll set up a meeting with the councillors themselves and Cara House so as we can take a look at everything. It has not gone to tender yet, that's the good news, so if we need to tweak it at the 11th hour, we'll have to engage with the architects as well, but I think we're still in a good place to get that over the line, which that's the good news.
There are urgent calls for roundtable discussions to take place on improving and extending the Letterkenny Town bus service. With the ever-growing population of the town combined with ongoing major traffic congestion, it's thought that now is the time to talk about the possible challenges facing the service. There's also concern that the current schedule isn't meeting the needs of some areas in the town. Councillor Kieran Brogan says it's important the conversation takes place.
There's a lot of different parts to the town, from the top of the mountain top out to Bunnagee, to Carolina Park and to Dobbit Lane Car, so many different parts of the town, to Ballymacool. And I suppose I think it's important, first of all, that we meet with the operator to discuss the challenges that are there at the moment, and that we can look to try and enhance and develop the service that's there. And I think many people have concerns in different areas about the service that's there. So I think it's important that we as a council meet to see if we can develop and grow the service. And I think it's a service that that could be grown and could be enhanced and developed a lot more. So I look forward to us as a council meeting with the operator and to see what we can do then as a council going forward.
One of the big concerns raised today was the Long Lane area being omitted from the current service and what can be done to maybe include that. It's been argued that there would be a potential a lot of customers ready and willing to use the service, but there is a reluctance there, I understand.
I'm aware of that as well, and I think it's probably only right that we give the operator an opportunity to come to us to address the concerns that's there. We all know that on a daily basis there's huge traffic congestion now right around the town in different parts of the town, and I think the town bus service is probably facing the same challenges as well. I think it's only right that we would have the meeting, I suppose, listen to exactly what the challenges are and try and address those challenges going forward and enhance and grow the service going forward. And it might even mean more than one bus going forward when you look the way the town has grown in the last number of years. I think that's the way we need to be thinking about it, to provide a service that meets the needs of everyone in the whole area.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal Nevis GAA range. Shop in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's almost 16 minutes past five and time's latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with athletics, and Derry's Jason Smith has won gold in the men's 100 metres T13 at the World Para Athletics Championships in Dubai. Smith blitzed the field to take the line in a new championship record time of 10.54 seconds. It's his fifth time to win world gold, and he becomes Ireland's second medalist of this year's games. Elsewhere, Jordan Lee has missed out on a medal in the men's high jump T47 as he failed to clear 1.91 metres. Moving on to soccer, and 17-year-old Troy Parrott will make his senior Republic of Ireland debut in tomorrow night's friendly with New Zealand. The Tottenham forward will become the third youngest ever Irish international, behind only Jimmy Holmes and Robbie Keane. Shamrock Rovers midfielder Jack Byrne will be given his given a first start tomorrow night, while Robbie Brady will feature for the first time since June. Manager Mick McCarthy is delighted to have him back.
The fact that he hadn't had much football was against him, he'd been injured, and he's not that much now, but he did start in one of the games, and if he's fit to start for Deitch's team with Burnley, then he's in a much better shape, and he looks it, he's trained really well.
Elsewhere today, St Pat's manager Stephen O'Donnell is looking for Robbie Benson to lead by example. The midfielder has left Dundalk after 4 years to link up with his former Lilywhites teammate at Inchicore. And elsewhere across channel, Bernardo Silva, he'll miss Manchester City's Premier League meeting with Chelsea in 10 days' time. The Portuguese midfielder has been banned for one game and fined £50,000 for a tweet sent to teammate Benjamin Mendy. Silva compared a young Mendy to a mascot of a Spanish chocolate company. The 24-year-old has also been made to attend an education course. And a former Spanish and Barcelona striker, David Villa, has announced he will retire from football at the end of the season. The 37-year-old won a World Cup, European Championship and a Champions League title during his illustrious career. Liverpool forward Mo Salah has been ruled out of Egypt's upcoming matches against Kenya and Comoros. The African Nations FA tweeted a picture of Salah in a protective boot. He was substituted in Sunday's win over Manchester City in the Premier League and iced his ankle on the bench. Well, former Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger is back in football. He's been named as FIFA's new chief of global football development. The Frenchman has been out of work since leaving the Emirates Stadium in the summer of 2018. He'll be responsible for overseeing and driving the growth and development of football for both men and women around the world. In badminton, the Irish Open got underway today, and there was a mixed doubles qualification today. Joshua McGee and Sarah Boyle, they both had a 21-8, 21-9 straight sets win over a Welsh pair. Tomorrow, there's lots of action for the Irish. Rachel Dara is paired with Paul Reynolds in the mixed doubles. Chloe and Sam McGee are also in action in that event. Joshua McGee and Paul Reynolds are in the men's doubles, and in the women's doubles, Sarah Boyle and Rachel Dara are both in action. Moving on to rugby, and it's reported that Connacht have signed versatile Australian back Will Goddard as short-term injury cover. Goddard's joined from Brumbies, but will not be registered for the Heineken Champions Cup. He's been signed as cover for the injured Tiernan O'Halloran, who will return to the Brumbies at the turn of the year. And Connacht have added Peter McCabe and Niall Murray to their European squad for Paddy McAllister and Sean O'Brien. Scott Penny, Ryan Baird, Cian Kelleher, Brian Byrne and Kieran Frawley come into the Leinster panel for the delisted players Dan Levy, Jack Conan, Fergus McFadden, Barry Daly and Van Abdeladze. And Munster, they've brought on Ben Healy for Alex Wotton. That Heineken Cup gets underway this weekend. In golf, Paul McGinley has ruled himself out of the running to host next year's Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. The former Ryder Cup captain was the host of the event at Lahinch this summer, but says he won't do it again for the next 4 or 5 years. Graham McDowell is now expected to be the host for the tournament at Kilkenny's Mount Juliet. And finally for this evening, in horse racing, Pat Smullen says it's humbling to have been honoured at Racing's Cartier Awards. The 9-time former flat jockey champion received the Merit Award last night in recognition of his fundraising efforts for cancer research. Smullen, who's been battling with pancreatic cancer for the last 2 years, has helped to raise over €2 million for cancer trials this year. And Duvan will make his long-awaited return at Clonmel tomorrow afternoon. The Woolly Mullins 3 and 9-year-old will end a 569-day absence to run on the Grade 2 Clonmel Oil Chase. He'll be ridden by Paul Townend and will be opposed by Henry de Bromhead's Mona Lee. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. I'm returning to some news. Detectives from the PSNI's Terrorism Investigation Unit have carried out searches under the Criminal Justice and Immigration Act 2008 in the Craigan area of Derry today. A number of items were seized for further examination, and a 49-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of possession of an extreme pornographic image. The suspect has been taken to Strabane PSNI station, where he is being questioned by detectives. And three new PS4 projects have been launched in Donegal this week. The first project, Living in Donegal, will examine what being born in the county means, and the Northwest Border Stories will feature 40 primary school aged children and their grandparents from both sides of the border, while Echoes from the Decades commemoration programme will see young people explore the decade of centenaries. Councillor Paul Canning is chair of the Donegal Peace Partnership.
We have done a lot of programmes this last while. We've actually brought 5.5 million peace money into the county. And these are three projects that we launched yesterday. One was Living in Donegal, which is basically involving 25 families throughout the county who are first generation born, and they're illustrating a variety of backgrounds and what being in Donegal and what born in Donegal, what it means to them. The second one was a Northwest Border Stories, and that was telling tales of the troubles, 40 primary school children and their grandparents, telling stories of, or telling their stories of the troubles at the time. And that is going to be put into a film and an exhibition. The third one was the commemoration programme, which is being run in partnership with the actual museum. There'll be two schools from each municipal district will be taking part in that. And what they are basically doing is they're ensuring awareness, raising an understanding of all of the sections of the community, and just to enhance the sense of cross-community ownership of the commemoration spaces that are back in the time between 1912 and 1924, which had the World War One, it had the Easter Rising, War of Independence, and the actual Civil War. So it was all of them and their commemoration spaces, and for people to appreciate each one of them. So that was, it was three programmes that we launched yesterday. It's all coming from the SEUPB, which is the European Regional Development Fund. We still have a few more programmes to launch, but it's all about bringing people together and getting people to appreciate each other's culture.
Weather now, wet in southern parts of the county for a time tonight. The rain will clear to isolated showers. Lowest temperatures of 0 to 3 degrees with a risk of frost in areas and some icy patches. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Irish Water has contacted Gardaí following an incident on Loch Foyle this morning. In a statement to Highland Radio News, the utilities say a company working on their behalf carrying out non-invasive survey works in Loch Foyle were unable to complete their work this morning after an interaction with two local boats. The Shannon has been told that all processes laid down in relation to aquaculture licences have been adhered to in the application for a major project on Ballyness Bay. Representatives of the Save Ballyness Bay campaign argue that the Department of Agriculture and the Marine has not followed its own guidelines in seeking environmental assessments of plans to develop oyster farming in the bay. There are calls on the Health Minister and the HSE to immediately appoint an autism therapist for Inishowen. The post has been vacant now for 17 months after the previous therapist left the job. And there are urgent calls for roundtable discussions to take place on improving and extending the Letterkenny Town bus service. With the ever-growing population of the town combined with ongoing major traffic congestion, it's thought that now is the time to talk about the possible challenges facing the service. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituaries is for this Wednesday evening, the 13th of November. The death has taken place of Seamus Curry, Illestrin, Letterkenny. His remains will repose at his home from 12 noon tomorrow. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, followed by burial in Kilmacrennan Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Sweeney Funeral Director or any family member. The death has occurred of Keith Fowler, Belfast, brother of Esther Russell, Ballintra. Service will take place at Ravenhill Funeral Services on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, followed by burial at Ballylesson Parish Graveyard at Drumboat Church of Ireland, Belfast. The death has taken place of Patricia Lafferty, Lekemi, Moville. Her remains will repose at the home of Philip and Anna Farron, Lekemi. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30 to St. Columbus Church, Ballinacrae, Moville, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. The death has taken place in Scotland of Bridie Boyle, née Duhun, formerly of Drumnatinny, Falkara. Bridie's remains will be taken to St Finian's Church, Falkara, for 6 o'clock tomorrow evening to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. No wake at the request of the deceased. The death has occurred of Bridie McBrearty, formerly of Glenfinstreet and Donegal Road, Ballybuffet. Her remains will repose at McCool's Chapel of Rest, Ballybuffet, this evening from 7 o'clock until Rosary at 9 o'clock. Removal from there tomorrow evening at 20 to 7 to arrive at the Church of Mary Immaculate's Turnorder, reposing overnight. Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock on Friday morning, with interment afterwards in Stranorder Cemetery. The death has occurred of Annie McLaughlin, née Doherty, Molinery, Crossroads, Killigordon. Her remains will repose at her home from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, if desired, to ICU ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Anne Brown, née King, Archview Lodge Nursing Home, Letterkenny, and formerly of Ballycastle, County Mayo. Her remains will repose at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock tomorrow evening. Funeral Mass on Saturday in St Bridget's Church, Ballycastle, County Mayo, at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in Ballycastle Cemetery. And the death has occurred of Kathleen Lally, née McGinty, 67 Blue Cedars, Ballybuffet. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorder, with interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Oncology Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow morning.